Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom, and greetings. Hallelujah. Bless you all, saints of the Most High. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley, born and raised right here in Lafayette, Tennessee, and still here by the grace of the Most High. Yeah. Thank you for his mercy tonight. Let's jump over to Georgia. Let's hear from Mother Jennifer. Get a sound check. Give us 10s in the chat room if you hear me clear, if you hear her clear. 10s. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to all the daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here tonight for another episode of Sister to Sister. Sister Ashley, I'm looking in the chat room, and it looks like we're clear. I see 10s rolling in.
Glory, hallelujah. Hey, let's kick it off. All praises to the Most High Yah. 75 days until the feast of Passover. That's about 10 Sabbaths. 10 Sabbaths away. Praise Yah. Time is really moving. He's going to continue to purge. I bless his holy name. Last 6 day, we're just getting kicking it off, going right into the show. All right, right into our conversation tonight. Last music practice, I was standing up on the stage, and pastor walked over to me. And I notice his feet first because by honor and reverence, I don't look him in his face. I look down when he walks by. And so I saw his feet first standing in front of me. And I waited a moment, noticed that he didn't move. And so I looked up. And I looked respectfully into his face, into his eyes, to see what he may have to say. And I waited, nodded my head a couple times in reverence, hoping that maybe he would have words of life, words of encouragement. I don't know what's in the man of Yah's heart. But he said, "How's the show?" And I said, "It's okay. How's your show? Been doing it longer than me, you know?" He smiled. And that was it. But that thought really hit me tonight before the show. So for a brief moment, we'll talk about the show. Sometimes, and in many, many times in times past, I haven't wanted to do it. Not because I'm not willing, because I come here willing. It's not about that. It's a lot of intricate details that you wouldn't understand unless you're, you know, chosen to do it. I fear the Most High, and I do fear speaking before those who may listen, because people really do want to hear the truth. Whether they reject it or not, that's on them, but they really want to hear the truth, and we do represent a lot when we speak. I haven't wanted the pressure as a woman of the looks or the questions or the accusations, or I haven't wanted the uncomfortableness of being in the open, being out front, being known. I haven't wanted to talk more than my husband. Go through all these phases, you know, all these seasons of learning and yielding yourself to, you know, past your own emotions. And perhaps sharing that will help some of you. I don't know, because it came to my mind. So, Mother Jennifer, how's the show? How's the show going?
Sister Ashley, you know, for me personally, there's so much information that comes out, and there's so much information coming out right now. And I know, you know, the men that we have, the leaders, our shepherds, the teachings that we get, a lot of times I sit and I listen and I just say, Father, what more, like what more could we say? You know, that the man of Yah has spoken. The elders have spoken. What more could we possibly add? What more could we possibly say? And I think for me, sometimes that would be the struggle that I deal with, you know, because we get so much from our leaders, so much from our teachers, our shepherds, our deacons, our elders. And I believe that, you know, they do speak to women. You know, women will say, well, a man can't speak to a woman from a woman's perspective. But I believe we learned so much. You know, we learned so much, and it is from a woman's perspective because the men are teaching us truly how to be brides. And so for me, in my mind, I always say, wow, Father, like what more could we say behind that, behind the patron messages that pastor's putting out, behind the YouTube messages, behind the Sabbath messages? What more could we even add? So sometimes, Sister Ashley, I even look in the emails, the Straightway Georgia, not sorry, the Help Meets email, Straightway Help Meets email. And, you know, there's so many emails in there. And some people, we don't even know what their commitment is to Yah, you know, if they're truly connected. And some of the questions that we get, it's obvious that they're not listening. It's obvious that they're not connected. And that makes it very difficult because it's question after question after question, and they haven't taken the time to just really get to know the ministry. And there's so many women who want to know the answer right now. You know, like they want to submit a question, and they want you to answer the question right now. And I believe that just for right now, in my experience, the people that that I counsel, the people that I'm connected with, you know, the Father is just really leading people to seek Him for themselves, to really tap in the Holy Spirit for yourself. There's nothing wrong with asking questions, but, you know, we have to really take the time to do our due diligence first and foremost. So I know I said a lot, but I hope I answered your question. But that's just my personal feeling when you asked me about the show. Mr. Ashley?
I agree. I really agree. You know, lots of moments come and go of I can't help them, Father. I can't help them past the words of the men. You know, most women, it's ingrained in them to only hear from a man, so I can't. I've had moments of misunderstanding, you know, not knowing why we're doing this. Forgive me. I get choked up because I do it. I do it for my love for the Father without any expectation, without any, nothing behind my back, you know. Really just want to share our experiences to a bunch of selfish people. I hope that you're discerning yourself. I would get on the stage or a roof or a mountaintop or in front of the assembly, I would beg you to love the Father. I would beg you to seek Him. And I say, I can't do that, Father. I can't make them love you, you know. But I will obey. I will obey, and I will come behind the men and do what's asked of me to do. I will. So tonight, I got a got a text message right before the show, because once again, we come before you empty. I don't know if you understand empty, my sisters. When I was full, I didn't understand empty, meaning when I had voices, spirits, oppressions, torments, you know, offenses, when I had all these things that filled my cup, I didn't understand peace. I didn't understand green pastures. I didn't understand still waters. I didn't understand being empty. And so when I come, I'm really empty. And like, if you don't lead us or give us something, a thought or something, sure, I could pull out of the archives. Sure, I could talk about how wonderful Lion's Den was, or the preaching that Elder Mitch did when he was here, or Teacher Shane's, or Elders Show, Elders Blog Talk, Brothers Segment. You know, you could pull and you could just, I could whip something together, you know. Done it before. But what do the people need? And then you know, in your own heart, you know that the people come before you for entertainment. So should I make it more entertaining? There's a lot of dynamics. Should I make myself a fool? Should I make it funny? What do I do, Father? You know? A text message comes through. It says, I was re-listening to Sister to Sister, and it related so much to me and how Yah is changing my mind to His mind. It's very painful and unexplainable, but I can see how sharper I'm getting, and I'm thankful for it all. I can stay encouraged walking in Yah's mind and not looking with carnal eyes at the pain and situations. It's a complete mind switch. It's amazing. I'm thankful for the show. I look forward to it every week, just like Lion's Den, just like our pastor. His words have been downloading into my heart and becoming a light to my path, very seriously. I pray this encourages you before the show. Very interesting, right? Because we were going to spend a few minutes talking about the show. But sometimes it's been a joke. Father, forgive me. It's been a joke to me sometimes before the show that says I'm looking for someone to do it and take it from me. You know, or I'll say, whoever wants it, Father, please. Please, I give it up without hesitation, not because I don't love the Father. We're not here before you to make excuses or simply sharing our life with you for a moment. That's all, sharing our life with you, you know. So from Mom Muncie, who will from time to time send me encouragement, even as an aged woman, she will say, I look forward to you speaking directly to me every blog talk. Or to Sister Allison, who texts me after every show to say thank you. Or Granny Diane and Mother Carol and those who say, hey, what's the show going to be about? Or Marshayla, who texts me right before the show tonight that says, you know, and she's down. She's been in pain. She's had injury. And she says, looking forward to the show tonight, you know. And Mama Tawanya, who never misses, she says. Even in her old age and more, she could be my mother, you know, to the audience and to the out-of-country listeners, to everyone who tunes in, we mean it. And I hope that if I had talked about the show just for a moment, then it would reach your hearts. For the few who can't say thank you, but it's there, thank you, you know. It's a weight, but I don't mean it like we can't bear it. I don't mean it to burden any of you or to even affect your listening. I simply want to share our life with you, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. And, you know, it's definitely not entertainment, just like when you listen to our shepherd speak. It's not entertainment. You know, it's not entertainment when you are allowed to attend a feast. It's a level of service. You know, you're partaking in something that Yah has called you to partake in. So it's a pleasure. It's an opportunity. And I think a lot of times is when, you know, when we desire to be entertained all the time, no matter what, you want to be entertained. That's when you can't receive the full truth that you're supposed to receive. That's why you don't take time to go through the Straightway website, you know, to get the wisdom that you need first and foremost from the website to actually get into prayer, to pray to Yah, to seek his guidance and his wisdom, to tap into his Holy Spirit because you desire to be entertained. So when you're truly tapped into Yah, that's not an entertainment at all. You know, it's a covenant. It's a relationship. And your flesh is not going to be entertained that way. Mr. Ashley.
Hallelujah. Like you said, it is a pleasure. It really is. I enjoy coming up here to fellowship and the opportunity, use the word opportunity, is the truth. I enjoy, you know, the audience that changes from here to there and, like, depending on who visits, you know. I enjoy the chat room and your responses. You know, me and Mother Jennifer, in a press. I'm in a press for my soul. I'm continually living in repentance. I don't know if you know what that's like, women. And some of you that I know personally, I know you do. But I really say that to make an impact because, you know, I'm changing. You know, I'm evolving. I'm being molded. Don't put me or Mother anywhere other than where we need to be, which is just fellow faith building servants. That's it. Just right there with you, you know, for you and with you as a support to you. So Sister Sakina brings my attention to the chat room. It says, I truly appreciate your submission to the Most High Yah every week to humbly come before us and sharpen us as sisters. I appreciate your love and wisdom and your example as women in the ministry. I look forward to hearing from you every week. Thank you, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer. Bless you. Bless you, Sister. Another one says, I always get a conviction to change while listening to Sister. I'm grateful to be able to listen to the knowledge and wisdom that's been available freely. Bless y'all. I know there's more of you that feel the same. Bless you. And there's just no greedy gain in us. You know, if we were never told thank you or if we were never high-fived or our names were never called, then hallelujah, you know, just sharing our hearts. And I do Just don't put me and Mother above where we should be in your lives. Don't, when you meet us, see us, think about us, or hear us, don't elevate us to the idolatry that you're accustomed to. You know, we are simply women. That's what we are. And we are nothing without the blood of the Messiah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Very well said, Sister Ashley. Nothing that I can add.
Hallelujah. I believe you got an email for us tonight. Hey, can I have you guys, you sisters, please call in. Guest call in tonight, 310-982-4226. Hope you got that. Post that in the chat. Has anybody got questions, testimonies, something? Yes, you can email us. We do read emails live on the show. I keep my email open. It's straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. It's all lowercase. If you want to... you want us to take your call? You want us to read your email? We'll do that. If not, we're empty before you tonight. Hallelujah. So let's kick it off with our first and only email. Go ahead, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. The email says, the world and those close to us will tell us to take a day for ourselves. Stop doing so much for others. How do I know when this is just the Hasatan planting a seed of selfishness or if I truly do need to stop doing so much for others, if there is such a thing? Also, she writes, this question sounds selfish. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Good thought. Would you like me to speak and answer first, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
All right. You can tell by the question that you're a woman who pours into others, because someone who's selfish wouldn't ask the question. Do you understand? Next point, doing something for others is interesting, because if you are looking for someone to do something for, perhaps you need to step back and let Yah make room for you in their lives so you don't overwork yourself. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but my husband, I can't even tell it honestly or like from beginning to end, but he paid other people's bills. And when he came into the ministry, he was 20s. He's 50-something now, 54 now, late 20s. When he came to the truth, gave his life to the Father that he was serving all the days of his life. He was paying other people's bills. That's what he was doing. That sounds right, you know. And maybe for some it would be, but when he came here, pastor said, stop. But it was for him to think and reflect, adjust, and go, okay, I really am taking on others' burdens and allowing it to affect me. And then everything's with balance, because guess what? As a chosen man of Yah, or a deacon, or you know, Mother Jennifer's husband, for example, any of our brethren that take on the burdens of the body, then they're called to do that, you know? So everything's in balance. But I do want to say that your health can be affected by others. They can drain you, pull on you, take everything from you. And if you don't step back, like, hey, I'm going to get real. Here we go, De'Ara. You didn't even know. Are you here tonight? Is De'Ara listening tonight?
She is.
She is, Chef said. De'Ara said she takes baths. I said, ugh. This was years ago. I'm like, I ain't never took baths. I do showers. Okay? Y'all go with me on this. Don't let your mind go nowhere, carnal. And I said, I had never, you know? I said to myself, why am I so against it, though? Now, I'm not saying everybody needed to change their doctrine or change what you're doing. I just noticed something in me. Well, time goes by. Trials go by. A lot goes by. And I had to. I got to sit down. I got to slow down. I got to do this for me. I'm going to take my first bath. But what is it coming? Where, my mother didn't really, I don't remember any nurturing. Didn't teach me to brush my teeth. Didn't teach me to brush my hair. Didn't teach me about the monthly flowers. Nothing. Nothing. So, of course, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go with the easy, quick shower. Y'all know I ain't talking about showers. I'm really not. And so when I changed and I said, I have to give myself time. I have to. And when I started, it changed my life. Now, you see me on the outside, nothing, you know, I'm good, nothing changed. I might look and appear the same to you, but on the inside of my inner man, it changed me to give myself time. The reason we don't give ourselves time is because you all hear the voice that says it's selfish to. So why is that voice that it's selfish to give yourself time, why is that so universal? So when you start to challenge it and you give yourself time, pause. I can't say these things to the woman who always gives herself time, who has never served anyone else, you know, who has never poured into someone else or thought of someone else as herself, continually bearing the burdens of other people around you. So I have to say that in context because it depends on who you are. One woman might say, I need to come up out of myself. You know, it's what I think about. It's what I pamper. It's what I do. I got my skin routine, my hair routine, my nail routine. You know, everything's routine. Everything's mechanical. And then you need to come out of that. That's bondage. You need to serve someone else. You need to let someone step on your white rug. You know, get your sheets dirty. Right? Chef said, mm-mm. Yeah, you talking about sheets. You already know. When you live community, the things you don't want need to happen. They need to happen. Mother Jennifer, that kicks off the email from my perspective. Go ahead and add your words.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. And I'm glad you brought that perspective because, you know, you have to ask yourself, is my nature bent towards being selfish or is my nature bent towards actual giving? If you can truly answer that question honestly, then that will take you into, you know, how you need to actually, the way that you need to go. If your nature is bent towards being selfish and not freely serving someone, then you need to make your flesh uncomfortable and put yourself out there and make yourself available to serve someone else. And your flesh is going to be uncomfortable. Your body is going to say, you know, I need to take a break. You know, maybe I need to just, you know, take a break for myself. Your body is going to speak to you. Your mind, your flesh is going to speak to you. But you'll have to really push past that. If your nature is really bent towards actual giving, you have to have a balance with that. You know, you pour into the person. You give them what they need. Give them the instructions that they need. Give them an opportunity to actually put what they've learned into action. So you end up with a balance. You know, you teach, and then you want them to put into action what they've learned. So if it's turned into enabling, then you know you've gone too far. Because if you're still teaching the same thing, and you're not requiring for them to put in action what they've learned, you know, then it could get to a point of enabling. And a lot of times people will tell you that they're not capable of doing something. And it's really just the fact that they don't want to push themselves. They don't want to be uncomfortable. So that's just something else to consider. Sister Ashley?
Or let's say you're helping everyone else and not your family. Wouldn't you put yourself in your family unit and say that I have needs? I can say I have needs, right? You can hear me say I have needs, and you can say that's okay, but if I say you have them, then you won't live it. Like, when you're married, you're under a covering or a covenant agreement that I'm in desperate need of you, completely dependent on you. If it's a husband, you need his provisions in his direction. If it's the Most High as your husband and master, you need him with every breath of your body. You can't live, move, or breathe without him. So there's a vulnerability and a nakedness and a humility that comes with saying, I have need. I need to care for myself. I need to take care of my hair, for example. Why? Because then it'll be nappy. Then it'll be raggedy. Then it'll whatever, not be brushed, not be tame, not be, you understand? So maybe you need to think about yourself as someone who is in desperate need. I said it last week. If I trust the Most High Yah with all my heart, then I know that he will have me in mind. And that means on this perfect, well-balanced rotation, thank you very much, on this well-balanced rotation of each of us in this ministry, in his family, every bride, every wife he has, he's going to care for each of us, right? And so with his mind, I yield myself to that. And with his mind, he would expect you as your creator, as a father, to care for yourself, not to just let yourself go, you know, to the point where it wearies you or stresses you, where you're not slowing down to speak to him, to put your heart on the altar and clean it and weep before the Most High, you know. There's a huge expectation for us to spend enough time with the Father. That is my time alone. It's with the Father. I crave silence. I don't know if you know me by lifestyle. I'm going to get somewhere quiet and meditate and think and pray every day. That's what I'm going to do. I do that for myself. I have to. So maybe you have never slowed down and thought about yourself like that. We busy ourselves. And this is one of the first people that made me realize this was Mother Carol. I said, she doesn't mind being alone. Remember this conversation so many years ago, Sakina? Just came to my mind. Me and Mother and Sakina had a conversation. Can you be alone, women? Can you truly be alone? No, because then you hear every voice that you're ignoring while you're surrounded with noise and people. You get it? See, we busy ourselves to cover up all the deliverance that we need. We busy ourselves and we put on masks and we hide what's really going on. And then we're so tired that we don't rent our garment behind the scenes. Whoever shall come unto me, Jesus said, let him deny himself. You must deny how you feel and deny your emotions. I have to deny me all the time. Deny yourself, follow me. Deny yourself, follow me. I got this to do, follow me. I feel this, follow me. That statement alone, whosoever shall come to me and deny himself, means that there's going to be opposition and thinking. You're going to have something to do. Sakina got ice to crack all the time, right? We still talk about the ice. I'm just using that for example. Sakina got ice to do, but guess what? Something else come up, she got to go. Got to go a different way, different job, different direction in the natural, you know? So if I could beg you to get somewhere and get alone with the Most High and spend some time on yourself, it'll change your life. But they profess that they know the Most High, but in their works they deny him. In your very works, you busy yourself, and you won't even discern your own body. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, Sister Ashley, I think it was very important when you talked about, you know, women being in silence, women being alone. And there's such a fear for some women of being in silence. You know, Pastor used to talk about this a lot where he would say, you know, what is, can you just sit in a room by yourself and turn everything off? You know, don't have anything playing, but see if you can actually silence your mind. And how long can you go before you start to hear these intrusive thoughts come into your mind? And I don't think we do that enough, Sister Ashley. Like you said, you have to be able to be in a place where you can sit in silence, where you can sit alone and you can see, okay, what is the fruit of my thoughts? Like, what are my thoughts really like? Are they life-giving or are there intrusive thoughts that need to be dealt with? But if you've always got something going on, always got something playing in the background, always busying yourself, then you'll never, ever know what truly is there in your mind. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Got a question in the chat room. It says, I'd like to begin by saying all praise to the Most High Yah. I do have a question about balance. My husband just recently had me step away from the workplace and focus on being at home, hallelujah, within a whole as a mother and a helpmeet, hallelujah. I'm just seeking some wisdom and guidance on how to find balance in it between homeschooling, maintaining the cleanliness of the house, preparing food, also growing within Yah, staying sharpened, et cetera, being a helpmeet to my husband. Thank you, Mother Jennifer, Sister Ashley. I'm going to say this. 9 to 5s, 8 to 7s. What's some of the other shifts? 11 to 3s, 11 to 7. Yes, that really mind raped and screwed the women, us. I'm a woman, right? Screwed us up. Somehow ingrained in you, you have a belief that you should clock out. And this is life. Welcome to life. Okay, life is. Being a mother, help me, wife, friend, okay, focusing on being at home, keeping the house clean, preparing food, homeschooling, et cetera. It's continual. When I get out of the show, I'm going to go home and I'm going to wash dishes.
Right.
What time is it? It's going to be maybe 8 p.m., right? What else? I'm going to make sure the children use the bathroom before they go to bed and brush their teeth, get their jammies on, or get cleaned up, right? Did you shower, et cetera? All right, clean this up, et cetera. Then we're going to go to bed. Everybody's going to go to bed, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to Yah. And then repeat. In the morning, I'm going to get up first. I'm going to get up when it's still dark, and I'm going to talk to the Father, because if I don't, then I might be in my flesh when we all wake up at once. Because you're all so loud, and I crave silence, remember? And everybody, they wake up on 10. He kicked me. He pushed me off. I'm hearing it already. If I don't wake you up, that's how you wake up. And somebody rolled over on you. And I'm, you know, sharing a bell moment. It's funny, right? Then we got to get up. We got to move. Let's go. Got an hour, maybe an hour and a half before we got to go to the dining hall to eat with everybody. Get your beds made. Get your this. Get that, right? Whatever our life is, each one of us being respectfully in different places. What really soars is a humble spirit. And a continual effort. So I can't tell you that your organizational skills at your job is going to be perfect in the house, because everything's going to be just going to be organized all the way through your day. At noon, everybody goes to bed. At 1, I clean the... No. You know? Because what if something happens to that schedule? How do we function? Women can tell you across the board, when they come to the community, the first thing they get rid of is their schedule, and it makes them go crazy. Some of them try to recreate a community schedule. It doesn't work. It may work, but it keeps them full of control. Like, hey, what would happen if we just gotta flow? Today we're going to flow, right? Okay? Now, your schedule might work for you. Do not condemn your schedule when I speak freely, because setting up a perfect schedule doesn't work for me. I live in community. Anything can happen. A deer could be shot. 3 deer. Sometimes we have 6 and 7 deer to process. Okay, right? This might be harvested. That might be harvested. It might rain. Whatever it is, it's a flow. I don't have a time in my mind that I got to clock out. And then in your efforts, with your humility and your love and joy of serving your husband and giving yourself the small little minimal moments that you need for you, early, late, whatever it is, you can conquer so much in a day's time. And when you can step back and say, I did my best each day, then you maintain each task. I don't clean the dishes believing that none will ever be in the sink again. We have some really unreasonable expectations because of our experience in the workforce. You know, don't step on that. Don't sit on that. Don't, you know, a lot of control our moms put in us. I was like, can we just live? You know? How about if that's going to control me like that, I'm gonna get it out the house. And then, Mother Jennifer, bring the balance, because you know we got to have things that we take care of, too. I said a lot. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. And you know it. The bottom line is really figuring out what works for you. It helps when you can prep what you can ahead of time. Like Sister Ashley said, the idea of 9 to 5 is out the window. It just is, because when you're a stay-at-home mother, that is truly a full-time job. So whatever meals you can prep ahead of time, then please do. And then, you know, doing a lot the night before you go to bed, making sure that the house is in order before you go to bed. Get used to being up late if you have to. You know, wake up early, and then the time that you're spending with the Father, you're going to have to figure out, more than likely that's going to be throughout the night when everyone is sleeping. So you can't have in your head that, okay, every day at 1 p.m., you know, I have a schedule prepared where I spend time with Yah. Well, that might not be the best idea, because when it doesn't happen, then you're all upset. And it's just based on something that you came up with in your mind. So that's why Ashley is saying to be flexible. And also, I think one thing that's really important is to make sure that the house is clean before your husband comes home. Make sure the children are clean before he comes home. You know, make sure that you don't look completely unraveled when he gets home. Make sure that the house is together when he arrives home, so that he can come home to just a truly peaceful place, if that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
Gosh, it's such a, you know, a broad topic, just trying to, you know, say a few gems that might stick with any of you. But, you know, never forget your husband. Your husband shouldn't walk around wrinkled. That's your responsibility, unless he wants to, okay? I don't mean any of my words to speak over him, but as a woman, no matter how many children you have, he's your first care. So, you know, my husband gets a drink every morning or whatever he may need each time he comes in the house. Do you need anything? You know, regardless of how busy I am or how many children I might have or what's on my mind, he has to be first. You have to do that inside you. Got an email. It says, as you all spoke at the beginning, it caused me to reflect. Sister to sister has been a key factor in my unlearning and my learning in this way ever since Yah brought me to Straightway. It's always been something I look forward to hearing when I did not have fellowship. Sister to sister was the voice of righteous women in this generation, calling others to be and do the same. It's appreciated that even when you have not felt like it, you have continued on. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you, bless you. I don't know. I've always said it before, like, Father, let them know I love them, you know. It's more than words, you know. Let the women know I love them. But back to topic, and we could ramble about it as long as you may need, Mother Jennifer, but the man means the most and should not be neglected. There is a dynamic that changes, of course, when you have a child or have children, because he himself becomes very selfless to the child's needs, too. You become selfless to the child's needs. So, of course, your family dynamic changes, but he matters. What did you do before? You should still try to do, you know. You still make his bed and clean his sheets and iron his clothes, or, hey, if you like the, what is it that I use? Y'all, it's water mixed with fabric softener at a perfect ratio. You can throw essential oils. You know what I'm going to say, Brittany? Yes, wrinkle release. Yeah, everybody got it? Good. Okay, look, I they might have robots that do stuff. I don't know. If I don't talk about it, I feel like sometimes I'm like, what? They got what now? Y'all, we are set apart. Some of our older mothers probably still use an iron, right, Mama Deidre? She probably still has an iron. I have an iron for guests. Can you believe that? And I have an iron for his garments. That's about it. But nonetheless, you still, you know, at the feast, no matter how busy we've been, his garment was still iron, you know? No matter how many children I had or responsibilities, if I was staying up late or waking up, you put him as your priority, everything else will line up. And if you come over my house and there's dishes in my sink and there's stuff on the floor and there's this or there's that, guess what? Next time you come, it won't be there. So it doesn't matter to me. I've had people, you know, visit Deacon's home with great expectations. And believe me, it's not filthy. It's lived in. I have a great care and concern for it. I upkeep it every day.
She does.
Every day. Hallelujah. Chef says she does. So you just, if your heart's concern is in your husband's home and you busy yourself doing what you were born to do and knowing you never clock out, hashtag truth, Pandy said, then you'll be pleasing to him and to Yah. Let go a lot of the control, you know? We've controlled our worlds. We've controlled our day. We've controlled our husbands. We have so much control. Just live. If the dishes need to be done, do them. If the floor needs you, do it. And a lot of things, a lot of times we have to teach our children to help us, no matter, you know, no matter their age. And that'll take a lot of the burden off. If you're thinking that you need to be doing it without them, then that can cause, you know, a hectic mind. And you can't watch them and do what you're doing, and it causes, it just drags it out. So depending, there's a lot to learn. You know, I'm saying a lot. There's a lot to learn as a mother. It's supposed to be natural to be a mother. Do you understand? It's supposed to be natural that you have the instinct within you of what to do. You see how far we've fallen? That we have to actually ask one another and lean to someone else's experience because we don't have it. We don't see it. We have no vision for it. It's like, can you please weep day and night before the Most High about your child's soul that you don't know how to train her? That you don't know what to do for your son? Like, can you please lift it up? You know? I'm very serious about every issue you have going before the Creator. Not in vain with your own intentions. I want my husband to love me and never have another wife, so please make this house beautiful. Now, you won't say it with your lips, but your heart is saying it. And it's a clown show. Can we just come before him clean, please? You know? Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. It's truly all about the intent. You know, what the intent of our heart is. If our intent is, you know, when we are cleaning the house, if it's because you feel like you're going to be replaced as a wife if you don't keep the house clean, then your intent is just completely, it's just wrong. And Yah sees that. He sees your intent. And, you know, I often think of you know, the teachings that we get, Sister Ashley, about, you know, pastor teaching us about the mind, the different aspects of the mind and the spirit and, you know, how everything is just so connected. And I think about how we are just so well fed, and yet we have women that are still stuck in learning about selfishness, learning about offenses. It's kind of like teaching, you know, nursery school and pastors teaching college courses. You know, how are we still stuck in selfishness and offenses and pastors teaching something completely different? So it's like there's a huge gap, and I'm not talking about, you know, just really keeping the house clean. I'm talking about the intent behind making sure that everything is in order. If your heart is not right, then that is first and foremost that you have to focus on. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We got a phone call. Chef says it's international. 254, you're live on Sister to Sister. Is it true? You're out of country. Can you hear me?
Shalom.
Shalom, you're live. Bless you. We can hear you. Who are we speaking with?
Sister Hannah from Kenya.
Sister Hannah from Kenya. I knew who I was speaking with, but I needed everyone else to hear your name. Sister Hannah, welcome to the show. I've talked to you at least one other time on the show. Please share your heart. You're calling from Kenya. Go ahead.
Yes, Mom. Bless you, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah.
Bless you.
And I wanted to take this opportunity. I have been meaning to call, I think, the whole of last year, Romania, I have wanted to really call in and express my gratitude for everything that you do for us. And I just wanted to say I have been following you in everything that you keep posting. And thank you so much for being faithful every other week and allowing the Father to use you as vessels to be able to pour unto us as women as we continue to learn our roles. And it's really so beautiful to hear you talk about leaning on the Father, because I was listening to a sister-to-sister back for 2017 that spoke about consolation from where or from who. And you said, Sister Ashley, we should not get so caught up on life situations that we neglect seeking our Creator for guidance and praise's sake. And I have to say that we need the instruction, the wisdom and advice that you offer. And if we are dependent on other sources, we are not going to be desperate for the Father. So I praise Yah for just seeking on him and leaning on answers from him. And I can only pray that I can continue to heed the advice that you're providing as well as our leadership. Praise Yah.
Sister Hannah, bless you. All the way from Kenya, I really, really bless you. If I could squeeze you, I would squeeze you. I'm thankful that the Father has touched you or that you've heard anything that would edify you all the way over there where you are. I mean it. Mother Jennifer, say some words.
Bless you, Sister Hannah. It's always good to hear your voice, always good to be able to take your call, and thank you so much for just being diligent in listening and putting into practice what you hear and learn. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, Sister Hannah, you have at least 15 bless yous from 15 different women in the chat room. So bless you from all of them. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. It's actually 3:51 a.m. here. And it's always good to be able to tune in every morning on this day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wow. Anything to say before I hang up? Audience?
I just wanted
all right.
to say love you all.
Hallelujah. Sister Hannah, thank you for waking up your morning with the Father, with his people, with this fellowship, our conversation. That's beautiful to know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless you.
Praise
Yah. Bless you. Glory. All right. Question in the chat says, Shalom, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer. How do you find balance with your personality, the nature you've learned in the world that you desire to get rid of, and the nature of an Israelite woman? I pray it makes sense. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I get this question quite a bit, actually. Some women, they come into the faith and they, you know, have a really quiet nature. And the world tells them that, you know, it's uncomfortable when you have a woman who's really quiet and you're sitting and she doesn't know how to, you know, hold a conversation or keep a conversation up. That's something that the world tells you. But in Israel, it actually is a blessing to have a woman who knows how to be silent, who knows how to sit in silence amongst one another, who doesn't have to think of a conversation. You know, that's just one example. So in that case, if you're a silent woman, you're coming from the world and the world has told you that being silent is something that is abnormal, of course, you know, that's not true. You just need to be at peace with the fact that you are a quiet woman. There's nothing wrong with that. But finding balance, I think the question was what personalities that you want to get rid of. Is that correct, Sister Ashley?
Find the balance with your personal personality, like who you are, Mother Jennifer, and then the nature that you learned in the world, like balancing those, getting rid of them, and finding the Israelite woman that you want to be, you know, being that.
Okay. I mean, as long as you, you know, forget everything that you were in the world, everything that goes against Yah, and when you come into the faith, you learn the type of woman that Yah requires you to be. Now, everybody's not going to have the same personality. You know, everybody's going to be a little different, but we all still desire to be meek women. We all still desire to be humble women. You know, we all still desire to be submissive women. We all still desire to just truly love Yah with all of our hearts. Of course, we're going to have different ways that we carry those things out. We're going to have different ways that we actually show our love for Yah. But we shouldn't be comparing ourselves amongst each other and trying to be something that we are not. We should be striving for holiness and striving for righteousness. But comparing yourself and you know, desiring to be someone else, that's not what Yah is calling you to do. He's just calling you to be holy and calling you to be righteous and calling you to be the meek woman that he has called you to be. I hope that makes sense, Sister Ashley.
It does make sense. I'm going to put one word on everything you said, which depending on how I ask you the next question, Mother Jennifer, you would say it anyway. Deliverance. That's it. You know Mother Jennifer believe in deliverance. Straightway Georgia believe in deliverance. Deliverance. You're not going to be nobody else without deliverance. You're going to be that same woman that you're speaking of right now. You're going to have your personality, your nature, and everything you were in the world without deliverance, period. Unless you just come on every Sabbath and put a mask on. And that's the only other way. Like, you either hide it, and you only hide it so long before it's going to bust out of you, or you can get real freedom. I am a living testimony of deliverance, period. Like, nobody's going to take that testimony from me. It doesn't matter what fault you find with me, what you want me to perfect that I ain't perfected yet, how you seem, whatever. I believe in deliverance. And the perfect balance in your personality and your nature and getting rid of this and being that and all, and deliverance. I am so serious, my sisters. I cannot stress that enough. I would not be surprised if each of you didn't have 100 spirits. Literally. Especially if you're new, you know, been in 1 year or just listening or been here 3 years, don't do nothing yet. Like, really. Or if you're scattered somewhere else and you're just not around somebody. So what do I do? Get deliverance. What does that mean? Just get on your knees. Just get on your knees with all sincerity. You weeping in prayer, crying in prayer, yawning in prayer, wailing, whatever, screaming in your pillow, that's all deliverance too. You know? Because you get up different. And you get up changed. Your confessions bring about fruit. They really do. So I can see how you, the person you want to be, every one of us has got the person we want to be. Right? Right in front of you is the person you want to be. You're constantly reminded of that person every time you fail. But that person that you put in front of you of who you want to be could also be an idol too. Because you fail that God. And so if you get deliverance, allowing Yah's work to shed you, break you, change you, his pace, slow down, right? Give him everything. Then you can take away that image and just have the peace, the peaceful fruit of righteousness that he loves you from the beginning and that he will finish what he started. Hallelujah. But you got to stay so engaged. Man, so hungry, yearning for change. Email says, Shalom, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer, Yah's blessings. Please speak on childhood trauma and learning to truly love your husband and finding this truth in Yah. To keep Yah's light shining through it, have strength and courage to keep walking in Yah. Childhood trauma. Well, childhood trauma is going to do two things. It's going to take all your memories and you're not going to have any, or it's going to leave such a weighty memory that it affects all your relationships for the rest of your life. Would you like to take that to the grave? You know, you have to talk that serious to Israel. Like, you have to make penetrating sentences. I realize that. So that when they go home thinking later, it's that impactful sentence that they remember. You know, you almost got to bring offense to their mind to shake them and go, oh, no, I actually don't want to die with childhood trauma. I don't want to take this to the grave. I actually want to produce fruit and change. Well, how are you going to do it? Deliverance. Deliverance. That's it. On your knees with the Father. I've had countless childhood traumas. You know, would it make us, you know, do I have to go verbatim of what has happened to me to, you know, glorify Yah in my freedom? Or you just hear my strength in my speech, right? So childhood afflictions, childhood traumas, the things we've been through, they are real. They will bind you to being a little girl for the rest of your life. So you take it and you get it under the blood and you plead the blood with desperation. The blood, Father, the blood. It makes me hate my husband like I hated my dad. It makes me hear this, think that, want to do this. Makes me hate my son, hit my daughter. These are the type of issues, the abusiveness that you have in your heart towards your children. It's because you were abused. So, deliverance. Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
And, you know, Sister Ashley, it's about just truly when you're going through the deliverance, being brave enough to pull out the memories that you have not dealt with. When you're dealing with childhood trauma, those things can be buried. You know, those memories are memories that you just don't even remember. And when you start tapping into deliverance, these things are going to start to come out, the things that you haven't dealt with, the things that you've buried deep inside. And this is where you have to really stay close to Yah. You know, make the confessions that you need to make, the examples that Sister Ashley gave. It really is, you know, dealing with childhood trauma is, it can present itself as a thing that is difficult and impossible, but it's just truly not. You have to stay connected to the Father. You have to stay connected in faith. You have to truly know what his word says about you, and you have to know that he has an expected end for you, because these demons want you to believe that, you know, you're just going to be destroyed with this childhood trauma within you, and that is not true at all. So you have to remind yourself that Yahweh has an expected end, and he's faithful to complete the work that he has started in me. Sister Ashley?
I'm considering another email. Let's go there. Let's see. I think I had it pulled up on my phone. Hold tight. Thank y'all for your emails. You make this show tonight. It would have been short without you. It says, greetings, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer. I'm so humbled and honored to have women like y'all in my life. I believe I may know the answer. But how do I find a healthy balance with controlling my feelings and emotions without becoming hard or hard-hearted when going through tests and trials? Good question. I got a verse for you. Psalms 95:8. Throw it up, Sister Sakina. Harden not your heart. You've heard it before. As in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. All right? Harden not your heart as in the provocation. If you've ever taught first grade, every word has a root word. The root word is provoke. If I provoke you by not giving you your will and way in my wilderness, Yah says, what will this tempt you to do? Oh, it's going to tempt me to be hard. It's going to tempt me to harden my heart. Okay. Harden not your heart, as in the provoking and the day of temptation in the wilderness. And all that you got in you is a spite against the Most High, and he knows it. And he loves you enough to put tests and trials in front of you that will purge your flesh of what's really in you. And none of us are going to like it. He said, I send the Messiah, my own son, like a sheep to the slaughter. And it pleased me that he was bruised. We don't understand that love. Now, how can you say you're gentle and you're a comforter, but yet you're going to provoke me? And you have rules and order, right? We have a lot that needs to be understood when it comes to the Father's function in our lives. So I send the tests and trials because I care about your soul. And then you respond with hardness because you care about your flesh. And that's the role of the man and the woman. We're selfish. So you have to desperately try to get your mind to be his mind, which is your will, not mine. Your will says you're going to bring this upon me and that you're going to break me because you love me and you're going to receive me into everlasting life. But I'm so focused on the flesh that that's what I feel and that's what I want. So you pray and you cry out and you be honest. And if you don't feel better, you do it again. It ain't about feeling better. It's about being honest. Right? If he throws you a rope to save you and you let go of it, then you're going to blame him. You're going to be hard. But if he throws you a rope and you never let it go, then you just plead and beg your way closer and closer to him because you pull on that rope until you reach his feet. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, hardness takes place when you have hidden or held in your emotions and you don't have a righteous outlet. And the only outlet, the only righteous outlet that truly exists is Yah. Being able to just truly be honest with him and tell him, you know, what you're feeling, what you're dealing with, why you feel it. That is the only way to just really get through without holding it in. If you pretend, let's say, you know, you're angry and you don't want to sin in your anger and you just hold it in and you're just moving forward pretending not to be angry, there's nothing that is going to actually solve that because you're holding it in and it's going to manifest itself one day. So Yah is the one that you confess your anger to. He is the only one that can heal you of the wound that is in your heart. He is the only way that he can help you control your feelings or help you to control your emotions or help you deal with whatever you've been dealing with in the tests and trials. So it's about the confessions and being honest with your confessions and moving forward and understanding and knowing that he is our only outlet. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. You know, it's very important that we say the things that we've never said, if that makes sense. You know, prayer and repentance really brings that out of you. Like truly saying, I don't believe in you is important for some because you hear the testimonies of others soaring or getting healed, being touched. Even Brother Perry, you hear his testimony? After all these years, he was on, he was on medication all these years. Still within the ministry, he believed in the Most High for everybody else, right? But finally, something. Most High Yah stayed with him, right? His love and kindness just drew him in the wilderness. Kept drawing him, and then boom, broke him, free from all these. Man, his mind's clear. He's had a powerful testimony, but he really said it. He said, man, everybody else, you know? I believe in the Most High for everybody else. Maybe you could say that. Maybe you could say, I'm out here in, whatever, Arkansas, and I'm all alone, and I don't believe you're with me. You are right there at Straightway, but you're not here. And then you go, that's a lie, and I believe a lie. Because it's not what you say. You know, you'll never leave, you'll never forsake. It's you drawing me. It's you talking to me. You're the one giving me ears to hear. You're the one, you know, quickening my flesh and giving me your spirit, loving me, you know. But have these talks with the Creator before it's too late. Before it's too late. Hallelujah. She even said in a text, she said, no joke, the sound keeps cutting out. It's been perfect this whole time. And I heard it, too. When I was answering earlier, Mother Jennifer, we were talking. It was popping within the microphone. She was really trying to hear it, too. She sent an email. Hallelujah. Maybe you can go back in here. Let's see. Mother Jennifer, anything else before the next email?
No, ma'am. Sister Ashley, nothing else.
Hallelujah. Remember the day of provocation was also provoke or from the root word strife. Strife, it means I'm going to go against you and you against me. You know? So that was the intention from the beginning. I'm going to bring you here to show you how much you oppose me so that I can show you how much I love you. You know? Says our master. Greetings in Jesus' name, Mother Jennifer, Mama Ashley. I'm going to say Mom Ashley. Thank you. I'm writing this email to say thank you for giving and sharing your love since the first time I have listened to this broadcast. I received a prayer answered. I asked y'all for a mother to teach me how to be a better wife and how to be a better mother, and it gave me you all. Truly grateful for the Father's love through our shepherds, through you both, our many other women, mothers who are righteous examples. Thank you for all that you have endured to share your lives with us. For me, this is not at all entertainment. Much more, rather, an opportunity to hear even more of how I can grow and receive counsel, rebuke, and help. She says, thank you, Jesus. Shalom, love, and grace be multiplied unto you all. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Hallelujah. I just want to say that, you know, for me, Sister Ashley, I know we talked about, you know, what we think about the show and how we think the show is going. I just want to put it out there that it really is an honor to be able to serve the Daughters of Zion in this capacity, and it's just not something that we take lightly. So we just want to thank you all for listening, and thank you so much for putting into practice what you've learned. Bless you, and shalom.